we think we love the children by letting them be irresponsible, go and smash up things, do what they like, and calling that love without even exposing the child. Making the child realize they don't act that way. So what the child does?
Duty smashes up everything.
And therefore, they deserve to pay for it. And they're going to learn the hard way. The only way to learn is through their pocketbook and their help.
So, at what age do you think that a child is responsible for his actions? There was something like that last year. Should be, you know, accountable for breaking something. I mean, you can't blame that little baby if he broke the bottle.
You have to blame the mother for realizing that a kid has no sense of reason what a bottle is, what hitting something is.
At what age do they get reason?
When they hurt themselves.
So if that little boy had hurt himself today, smashing it,
then he would never feel about it.
Well, so in other words, they have to go out and hurt themselves. So it doesn't make much difference whether it's the mother is irresponsible, because they have to learn it one way or another.
But then when they hurt themselves, it can be detrimental. And that's the ridiculousness of not taking it away from the child.
Yeah, but do they have to hurt themselves to learn that?
Someday they will learn through pain. You didn't learn a dog hunting or riding across the you hurt yourself. So don't go tell me you learned it without hurting yourself.
No.
Okay. Because our ego is so big, and we think we can never do wrong, and we fool ourselves and end up doing wrong, and then who do we blame? But because we hurt ourselves, we quit doing it. And that's the only way nature knows to make us respond. We can't respond by love. Nobody learns by love. They learn through pain. Love makes lazy people, irresponsible people. Pain makes responsible, compassionate people. That's what pain does. That's why they say, the root cause of all of man's problems is his ego.
But you just said last night there's nothing saying it's ego.
That's why you must suffer to learn that no ego is good. Otherwise, if you didn't suffer, you'd think you could get away with it. Because he has to feel pain, he finds out there's no ego. But he doesn't know that till he feels pain. God made it perfect. Pain is your only true good. No other guru. Even that boy in that picture, until he felt the pain, he wouldn't. But then it's teaching you for what threshold you could take it, then you'd stop it. But then his own self-identity got the best of him, and he shouted back and forth. She was still trying to discipline him not to be too violent or too overly domineering. But at some point in time, he has to demonstrate it to gain his identity and then become compassionate. But he can't do it until be compassionate until he demonstrates it.
At the end, she was trying to. To still help him?
Mm-hmm.
By telling him not to act that way. And so he shouted her down into silence, and she fell apart. use the sonics, but then you gain compassion. You have to quit doing it. But then you have no opposition. If I didn't have opposition, you wouldn't read it. Let children run our lives, then in actuality we should be running the children's lives. So when we end up having a problem with the children, becoming delinquents, we find out it's whose fault to place. We learn to get away with things too soon. Yeah, never put a stop to it. See, Ron has got a wife. The first wife, the boy belongs to. She and him let that boy wrap them around the little boy's fingers. He takes a hand of the both, the mother and the father. But the stepwife wasn't that type of woman. She wouldn't tolerate it. And so he can get away with it at her. Because she grew up where everything was run by part of her mother, her dad. She never got away with trying to play. So when he couldn't get away with the stepmother, he complained. He comes here and he takes it out in his hostility and things. And I look at that and I sit down and I say, if Ron would only realize that he's got to hurt the boy. So he took him to learn karate. And so as you walk in the karate place, the karate teacher look at him and says, you don't listen to your parents the way you walk. He says, my damn teacher. Until you listen to your parents and teacher. The teacher wouldn't take it. And that was the conversation. He didn't even interview. That goes to show you how the person can read the waywardness of the person.
You know the karate teacher here?
Yes.
You recommend him?
No, I sent him to a survival school. The guy who takes him to survival school. And you have to do everything according to instruction, like a military.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some kids don't go back because they don't like the discipline.
So did he go back?
The first week he went out, found that he couldn't get around the teacher. And there was no ifs or buts. You do it or you don't do it, you go home. Yeah. He's changed.
So he's still going?
Okay. Number one, the teacher doesn't fix the bed. Number two, he doesn't cook the food. You do everything as you're told, and you watch others older than you and do as they are told. And then if you go out of line, you ask them, you know, but you're not. You should be up to your parents.
Does he live there?
Yes.
At the boarding school?
No, it's not a boarding school, it's a medical camp. Where you have to fix your bed, light your fire, wrap yourself up. Follow everybody's instruction, the older person does it, you do it. And when the bell rings, everybody's up right next morning and march. And do everything.
But is this like a year-round school?
It's not just a two-week vacation
here.
Oh, they go
every weekend.
So he's been going now, and he's been changing his attitude. He's listening to his stepmother. He's listening to what they've done. So he's getting ready to go to karate school. But that's the cure they need. To learn to follow instructions and not try to get off in tangents until they're competent to run their own life and give instructions. Some parents do different. They don't listen. That's what they do. Right.
That's what my dad did.
And that's the best cure there is.
I was just thinking that's how you could get hurt too and have a trauma getting hit.
Then you deserve it.
by not listening. They wouldn't get it if they listened. Who would hit you if you listen? Nobody. But if you don't listen, you deserve to be. Don't spare.
Yeah, but who's to say he's right? Or anyone?
God says it right. He said, don't spare the rod and spoil the child, otherwise it's damnation to hell. It's in your Bible, not I didn't make it up.
You don't believe everything in the Bible, do you?
Biblical writings have a value. Anytime you spoil a child in its growing up process, by not disciplining it, you have a terrorist, a possible murderer, and a suicidal person.
Yeah, but then you can also go to the other extreme of having someone whipped down in submission as opposed to being able to stand on their own 2 feet.
Anytime they're whipped, that person has brought it from himself, I don't want to obey. Obedience is a discipline.
Yeah, but why should you be obedient to something that's not realistic?
You must obey those who are older than yourself until you know what to do. They are there to see that you don't hurt yourself, and when you don't obey, you deserve to be punished if you are a discipline.
Yeah, well, maybe it's not obvious why you should obey. It's the same when you train a horse, it can take 2 people, and one person can beat a horse to death, saying the horse isn't obeying him, and the other person can just show the horse, and you don't even have to beat the horse. I mean, there's something to say about the parent or the trainer as to whether they need to beat him or not.
I have been around both types of people. Those who hit the discipline and those who don't hit the discipline. And I live to see the offspring of those two people who have come up in the end. One of them comes here. The other one is in a grave. I've known him for a long time, that's a 2 years. But I have to look to see it, to believe it, to work there. I don't make these things up. I just observe it and work with it. And I only can see the truth as it is set before it ever came out, how these laws work. There are very few people disobedience produces a happy person. But those who obey are starting to be happy.
Okay, how about the very few that do disobey and are healthy? Are they more healthy than the other ones who always obey?
No. It's like the prodigal son. He disappeared and came back to ask forgiveness. The one that obeyed, he complained.
Right.
But that shows he was stupid to complain.
But he was the one that was obeying all the time.
Yeah,
you were just saying that
he
should obey.
Complain. It's easy to obey, but don't complain. It's easy to disobey, but not ask forgiveness. These are the compensations you have. If you disobey, ask forgiveness. If you obey, don't complain. You can't have a cake and eat it. If you disobey, ask forgiveness. If you obey, don't complain.
Easier to disobey and ask forgiveness.
I have done that. I disobey and ask forgiveness. When I obey, I don't complain. Because that's the consequences I have to go through in obedience and obeying something. So I don't complain about it. I've done both. And I found this is healthy. The healthy one is who will ask forgiveness. And the one that will not ask forgiveness. It's worse to obey and keep complaining than to obey and not complain.
It's worse to disobey and ask forgiveness?
No, it's worse to obey and complain.
Than to disobey.
And ask forgiveness.
What if you just disobey and don't ask forgiveness?
Then you'll get worse.
Is that worse than obeying and complaining?
Yes. The law is equal to action, every action, so you see how it works out. There's no something for nothing, it's just that we got to go through to find out which is the worst and which is the best and which is the practical. That's why it says yes, no, maybe. But there's some thought for there also.
And the laziness of the human being to eat a roach, then they deserve their diseases. And that's what the Filipinos have. They have various diseases to their laziness.
In the cockroach that carries them, or what?
Yes.
So that's why it's not healthy, because they carry disease.
Yes. And the disease is laziness. That's why the Philippines are the way they are.
They're lazy?
Yes.
You know, they raise this children till they're like 21. They can do whatever they want. And, you know, it's like Playboy. And they hit 21 or whatever, they're flunking out of school, but once they get out of school, then they're expected to work constantly. And then they all of a sudden they have to be a man. It's like no responsibility to a lot of responsibility.
I couldn't call that practical humanship. I call it a disease brain. Because the diseases that will come from that type of a body is pitiful.
I've
been in the hospital for work. The percentage of people are lying in the beds in the poor wards and in the expensive wards, I've seen them all. Who lies down there with the worst diseases that the doctors have time to do research on?
The rich ones.
We hear the rich guy as a specimen. We don't hear the poor ones that they're busy chunking off to the morgue every day. Mm-hmm. That's a word. Cadavers, I don't know. If they had 8 people, and they have 1 Caucasian and 7 other nationalities.
In the morgue?
In the morgue, every day. The public never knew that. Because they don't talk about it.
Well, is it because of the doctors care less about him, or do they just, why do they have worse, they have a worse diet?
The things they do to themselves, they deserve what they got. Plus the other ones where they don't do to themselves, they got diseases. Right here, those boys comes in here, they survive you and a girlfriend from Oaxaca.
Mm-hmm.
He and his brother, another friend, his girlfriend's all in there.
They're lazy.
Don't see the way got it. More anatomy studies or friendly studies into the doctor. Carrying home the different pieces that they gotta work with.
They carry the pieces of body home? Mm-hmm. That's illegal. Isn't it illegal?
Huh?
To take
any. Anatomy.
I know, but you can't take them out of the laboratory.
You take it home to your home or lab and study it, bring it back to the lab, and you finish with it. So you're talking about. You got the earnest notion of this world, you know, we live in such a fantasy of a brain and people are constantly doing what they're doing. Who invented the idea of cutting out the cadaver?
What's his name?
What's his name?
What's the guy? It starts with V, doesn't it? I don't know. The guy who did it illegally. Snuck in there.
The monks were the people who were constantly working on anatomy, cadavering, stitching up the bodies to bury them, and the people who wanted to do nothing for them. Because that's what the only job they had. Early man did all his resources in the monastery. Because were easy to do there under the statement it's God's will. Who is going to question a priest who is a direct messenger of God? No.
sure find a way to get rid of that guilt. Because in the rules. So the throne is always controlled by the church. And to this day, church and state are constantly in battle.
And all the wars were fought in this universe between human beings, between church and state. America would not back up no non-Christian country in a foreign nation. First, as a government.
Because we have our religion here controlling the politics?
And to say we're going to back up an Islam group before a Jewish group, you're talking baloney. This country claims its heritage from Christian Judaism, and Judaism was fighting for the word of God all their life. Every other person is a left, a non-God. Then God became everybody. But the Judaisms are getting rid of it, making everybody do that. Play their game for them. So who are you expecting to do that? You can just ask them, just believe in them. Yes? Stranger with no food. There's no other than a system in existence than to hurt the guilt. That's the way nature has made it. He who hurts first, the guilt lies.
He who hurts first, the
guilt lies?
What do you mean?
Well, he doesn't think that the guilt is hurting.
Oh, the one that's doing the hurting to the other person is the last thing to forget. So he who feels the hurt first, forgives it. So, do you try to do that to me?
No.
You don't try to hurt me, so I'll learn to forgive?
No. If you haven't learned to forgive from the day you're born already, you will never forgive. Because forgiveness is something you learn by making mistakes. If we forgive ourselves, we will make mistakes.
No, my Lord, it's a Sanskrit word for unity with life.
Oh, well.
Oh, in that case,
what did Mr. Einstein was talking about?
About?
He only put it in English, unified field. No, a practitioner of the unified, the practitioner of the unified field, or a product of the unified field, is a unifist. Same thing like a yogist, just the name of the same thing. All, both men, be it English or Sanskrit, have to prove that they can know who they are in the summer sea. When you can't prove it, you're not there yet. But if you can prove who you are in your summer sleep, you're unified or you're yogified.
At that point, you're awake.
How do you know you're awake? Are you, how do you know?
Well, I symbolized slaves as being in agents. It's my interpretation.
Slave is again.
Well, it's being in the dark. It's not understanding life and being happy.
Who says so?
Well, it's my interpretation.
That's your interpretation. What do you do here?
It helps me understand.
What? No sleeping?
Then my interpretation,
but it's wrong. So then it's wrong.
It's wrong.
Well, why do you sleep then? It's all right.
But that's...
Now, don't give me excuses now. Why do you sleep if it's all right? That you should not sleep and think you know it all. There is.
No, it's a difference.
What difference?
One is physical sleep. The other is more symbolic.
No, you're playing games together. Then you got no sleep.
I know it.
Then that's not valid.
But that's my
interpretation. No, interpretation has nothing to do with
me. It's
no, that tells me you that tells me you play games with your head. You don't have truth. If you sleep, why is sleep important for you to tell me you don't sleep? Do you sleep?
Yeah.
How you know who you do you know who you are when you're sound asleep?
Yes, of course. No.
Then what are you telling me about?
How do you know who you are when you're wide awake?
That's what I'm trying to prove to him, that you don't know who he is when he's sound awake. That Lord, you don't know who he's sound asleep.
Well, isn't that mine?
My friend, I'll tell you something. If you don't breathe, what the head trip is all about? Let me squeeze this and shut him up and tell me what you're going to talk about. Conversation? What good is your heart without your nose? What good is a big brain in there without your nose? They can't do nothing without your nose.
But
tell me, did you study anatomy and physiology?
Yeah, in school.
Then what did I tell you about the lungs?
Well, we haven't learned about
them. Then learn about it. Then you'll find out all the other parts are useless.
Yes, the lungs are the main purpose.
The baby, when they cut the cord from the mother, if the air don't stay inside, they throw it in the garbage. The same way they do to you. What make you hold the air inside?
Muscles.
No, muscles don't hold air.
Your lungs.
Your lungs don't hold air either.
Well, what that is?
Ah, that's the progression of what makes the air stays in you.
Muscles don't hold air.
The brain don't hold air.
It helps.
No, it don't help nothing. Does a balloon hold air if you don't tie it up?
No.
Good, then the same thing with you. You wouldn't hold no air.
What
holds the air in you? What holds the air in you?
Well, the muscles in the lungs.
No, they don't. Their babies didn't hold with all the best muscles in the world, even better than yours. You didn't hold. No muscle in your body and no brain in your body will hold air inside of you. That's the one truth about this universe by the man in the East, I think, called a yogi. He found out. The only guy who spoke the other truth was a guy named Paul. He says, "I rebuke you in your rejoicing, for I live and die daily in God." He knew the secret of why he held the air.
How does that make our lives
harder? I'll tell you what you do.
How does it make our lives?
Stop breathing for 3 minutes and see what you're going to do with your body.
I'll pass that.
Oh, you're going to
finish.
Pass
it? Not fast. Not long enough to finish your body.
The conversation will end, and we're going to say, there goes the old carcass. We cut up the parts and sell it around. So
You
see the big illusion you live. You live the illusion of words. You talk to yourself in words that you are, and without the breath, you're absolutely useless.
And up and around.
Well, but knowing cannot help you with breath. All the knowing in the world will not change the fact that you're useless.
The breath is what?
Breath is life.
So.
But what good would it do if your heart wasn't pumping blood?
What good is the heart if the breath don't come in?
What good is the breath if the heart doesn't pump?
Yeah, that's the point. The breath is more important than the heart.
Yeah, but neither can function without the other.
Oh, yes.
If your heart's not pumping,
I can stop my heart, but I cannot stop my breath. I can stop my brain, but I cannot stop my breath. I've done it every time with a lot of medical equipment in this country. So I know what I'm saying. The equipment is there to prove. If the equipment was not there, Dr. Shiri would say, Adama, you're a fraud.
How long can you stop your heart for?
He has the evidence of how long it can stop.
Huh.
It's called samadhi.
Your heart stops.
Yeah.
How does it make what is happier though? Are
you sure?
Yeah. Does you quit breathing too though in samadhi?
You can't stop breathing.
In samadhi? When your body gets rigid and cold, you're not breathing.
Oh yeah, you're breathing, but you're not breathing through your nose.
Through your skin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blessed is he who breathes through his bones, for he shall be called exalted. The highest of yoga. He just said blessed is he who breathes through his nose.
It says through his bones?
Yes. Here in America, we're now discovering what the ancient people discovered thousands of years ago. Only they use agricultural language to describe it. Today we're just using... Let me ask you one simple question. Is happiness having something or looking for something? No, you see, dead men don't own anything. And they only crave to breathe. If all of us lie, if all of us lie down here, and God walks, if we're not dead, and God walks in, and asks you, Jason, what do you want? Your breath back, some more miracles to perform, or some possessions to make you a rich man? What would you ask him? How can you be happy if you don't breathe? Tell me, how can you be happy if you don't breathe? You're lying down dead, listen carefully, don't make answers. You're lying down dead, all of us, God walks in the room, he says, hi folks, what do you want? Your breath back? Some possessions to make you rich in the world? The power to perform miracles? Which one do you want? I'm only giving you one.
Out of
those. Out of the
choices.
Three, yes.
The third one.
Which one?
To perform.
Yeah. If you don't believe, how are you going to perform it?
In your
what? You don't breathe. You don't have power without breath yet. You can't breathe. You're a dead man.
How
are you gonna have
miracles? All these spirits.
They have to they have to breathe.
A lot of them have a lot of power.
No, they don't. You make power. Living people fool themselves. Dead people don't have power and think for nobody.
I just said
this dead man ever lift you up and tell you can walk.
I've heard
he did it when he was alive, you know. He didn't do it, he didn't come around and do it when he's dead. People think that he come around and do it when he's dead. He did it when he was alive.
And he knows that his body is gone.
So?
How do you know he's dead? How do you know?
Why don't he show up?
Why should he?
That's the question.
He shows at some places.
That proves that you can get a result. Which dentist can take a teeth out?
The ones looking at the mouth.
I don't know if any dead dentist can take a teeth out. It takes a living dentist to take a teeth out, but a living dentist got to learn what a dead dentist has to learn. The more pain you will have, is the more happiness you will get. The less pain you have, is the less happiness you will get.
Pain?
Oh, yes. P-A-I-N, P-A-I-N, P-A-Y-I-N-G. All three pain. They all make for happiness. P-A-I-N, P-A-I-N, and P-A-Y-I-N-G. They all make for happiness.
Why?
Because you wouldn't change if you didn't pay for it. And if you didn't hurt, you wouldn't complain. And if your father wasn't inside of you and you were not inside your father, you wouldn't be here to talk to me. That's what I call P-A-I-N.
If life is always doomed.
Who said life is doomed?
If
Not if, you see, if it's supposition without proof. Turn if backwards and spell it, then what you got? Okay, keep practicing. You pay the fee, you get the price. Don't want to pay the fee, you don't get nothing. See what if is a fee if you pay the price. What good is if you don't pay the fee? If you believe that you don't breathe, would you breathe? See, right away your mind shifts.
No, I'm just saying.
Same thing
as
that.
It's like, it's not happy. It's worthless.
Who said life is not happy? What do you call happiness? What is it you call happiness? Something to get or something to run after? No, that's something to run after or something to keep or get. Something you want to hold on to? Something you want to run after? Then what is happiness?
Well, it's a matter of personal taste. Everybody has.
If you don't breathe,
that makes them happy.
If you don't breathe, it's useless to talk about it. Do you understand that? Do you understand that for sure?
If you're not happy, then why breathe? Why breathe?
You can't be happy without breathing first, and that's all the happiness there is. All right.
Hello, friend. How you doing? Let's see if we got any broken bones.
Oh, we're done!
Well, you didn't make it, so you didn't make no broken bones. You don't have to run. Oh, well, then you got a jarred up.
Yeah.
You're lucky. Okay, so we're jerking up the muscles up. Tighten the tummy.
I'll work on her first. And it takes 3,000 chops to cut it down. You only do 1,000. We have 2,000 to go yet before the tree falls down. It's the same way with that. The amount of time, you just got to work it till you lose it. Everything has got a quantity and a time.
Oh, you mean to say that Vataka is good enough?
Yes, it's the best. Just do it.
You understand?
I understand what you're saying, but you got to do it. And you get to the point where it corrects itself. It's like pumping a wheel.
Yeah.
You can't run until you get the right size.
Yeah.
The same thing, the body is not going to change.
No, that is
I know, but the thing is this, that's the thing. You got to do it till you get to that frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it till you see it, but then the result is there.
Nothing else?
No. Don't need anything else. That's the best.
You are a good
one.
That's the best technique. Just do it.
Okay.
That's the whole thing.
Okay, thank
okay,
you
see
very
you.
Much.
Yeah,
okay.
He was surprised and he had to go back and prove it. And when he read in his nap, he came back and told him, he says, you are right. And he says, you are right, there are four different geometries of protein. I said, yeah.
So you said there were two?
Two types of geometry.
Where's the restroom?
There are two types of protein. One with nitrogen and one minus nitrogen. Well, there are four geometries of protein.
But you're saying that salt and fat will make
protein? I didn't say that.
Salt and lipid is what you said.
A lipid from a resin tree called a pine tree came and mixed with sodium chloride.
Well, there must be more in the lipid in the resin than lipid.
It's called lipid protein.
Okay. So
it has a protein base already from
oil.
The tree.
Right.
Integrated into the oil.
Okay.
So the protein is already locked in with the oil. People don't eat pine oil, but that same pine oil or resin bonded with sodium chloride and an anaerobic action occurred to form tissue or amoeba. And that's what your cells are.
Well, Donna, would you think that you could ever, put this map back, or what am I trying to say? I'm so I'm so laid back, I can't even think of words or anything.
Most important thing, you enjoy it. Use it.
Yeah. But why is it to be refrigerated? There is fall. Same thing as it was fall.
It's food.
Okay.
It's a skin food. It's just a new technique of feeding the body externally instead of through the mouth oil.
So the oil will rancid
if you
don't?
Oral eating is already set up by nature, so your stomach and your hydrochloric acid will break it down. This cannot go through the mouth. It's too toxic for the hydrochloric acid, so it goes through the skin, bypassing hydrochloric acid, but at the same time, it's all the basic lipids that nature set up that will take to go through the mouth, now for the first time, are working through the skin. And doesn't make it toxic. I mean, it'll only work in the areas that are starving. It will not work in areas that are not starving. You know, wherever there's a wrinkle or a flat spot or a dried up spot, that is the only area it will go and saturate it and open it up. But it will never go to a healthy skin.
What if you have just a dry skin all over your whole body? Like,
then it will feed all the areas that are dry.
You could do the whole bottle in a week.
It's not intended to feed healthy skin. It's intended to feed starving skin. You don't have rotten skin, number one. That's a mislabel. You don't have dying skin. That's a mislabel. You have starving skin. The starving.
Well, if you use it and you don't need it, it's all right. It's just fine. Yeah, you know, you can examine your skin with a big mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, I can see little areas that look like they're just dying.
You can see
they look like a knee or something like that.
Yeah.
And there's not exactly wrinkles. It's not really wrinkles.
They're starving.
Yeah.
Because the doctors never knew that before. And what they're calling a dried up skin or they're always going to, under the illusion, everything's got to come from the mouth.
Yeah.
But the problem is that they didn't want to admit that minerals were not getting to that area on time, and therefore it dried up or it swelled up because it got there too soon.
And there's really not any need for people to wrinkle and do all these things, is there?
No, there is no need. But we must fool ourselves. As I said, there's no need. There's a difference between a need and a want.
They don't want either.
People want to fool themselves. People don't need to fool themselves.
You mean people want to fool themselves in the
That's why the word failure is feeling all internal lies urgently requiring experience. That's what the word failure is. F means feeling. A means all. I means internal. L means lies or desires. U means urgent, R means requiring, E means experience. So if you urgently requiring experience without timing it, you end up a failure, making a mistake. So what is a failure? Somebody who came too soon or came too late?
Either one.
So then the person who comes in time is a what?
It's good.
Good. Then you see what failure is? There's no such thing as a good or a bad failure.
Out of plan.
That's an unsynchronized individual. Because they're urgently trying to experience their wishes or lies to themselves too soon, before it becomes a reality, they end up being out of time. But a lie or a desire or a wish is not a lie when it's out of time. It's a truth. That's why there's no commandment thou shalt not lie.
First on the scene of an accident down in front of the house. And when he got, there's two sports cars
when Jason saw this, and he went over there, the boy was hanging upside down, and he, the smells, and that radio was still playing that song. So, well, a long time after that, we'd be in the car, and that would come on the radio, and he gets real, you know, funny.
Gets
a hard time breathing. And the boys were on the big island. Jason always seems to manage to be on the same side.
I think Jason's there.
Jason's there. What do you mean?
They're always looking for the golden fleece.
For the what? The golden fleece. You don't know the story of Jason and the Argonauts? You must read it.
That's the new Jason is the astronaut. Looking for the golden fleece.
Always on the looking for the golden
fleece. That's the Zodiac
rap. Oh. The golden fleece?
Yeah, the golden fleece.
Could be a goat, but not really.
Could
be a ram.
Research towards space flight to Aries. The constellation of Aries. Heading out there, constellation of Aries with all the new astronauts.
We got some fresh lemongrass at the store. Harvey brought it in last night. And
it makes the tea.
Can you eat it? Well, I know I have dried lemongrass.
Yeah, it
makes
it
eat it fresh.
Fresh is good on top of the salad.
Oh, okay. Do you make tea out of it first and then use it?
Yeah, you can make it fresh tea or just put a little on your salad. Or in the soup, put it in the soup.
Yeah, I thought about food.
No matter how much money we leave the house with, we spend it all. We make sure that we don't go home with a dime. Yeah. And then if you got any money, and you know, here, go get, what are they, 50 cents?
Yeah.
Get two more then. Do you want to sell them? Is that what they're for?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I didn't know if they were just for here.
No, you can get two.
What's this for?
Kind of our
what's this for?
Fireplace.
You have a fireplace?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, they use it to help light the fireplace.
Okay, I'm going to call Saturday.
Okay.
If anybody can call me, don't ask. Okay, I'll call sometime in the
That this distilled, that they predict that the water is up in the middle of the wind.
How is this? How is this Jesus?
Yeah. That's why he made an ass all of those fellows who took him. At the last minute of their belief system.
So, but you think it could be scheduled?
As I said, the stars foretell, they don't compel.
So it could be foretold?
Yeah, at the last minute when they make assholes with the prophets. You see, they realize man doesn't interfere with nothing. Only the last minute. Then he steps in like a thumb. He lives out here all the time. Society lives in him. But he's stupid to go in here. He'd be dead, duck, sacrificed to the cross. Stay here, he's all right. But without him, they're useless. That's what a realized person is.
Well, what about that martial arts form like this?
The
ones that you don't wrap your
thumb around? That's good, providing a break it that way, and then they'll wonder how the hell to do to them.
Break what? Them? So you can do it without them.
Oh yeah, you can do this. Do a lot of things, but still you can break it if you know how. It's not something to boast about because that's mostly evil. You want to help people to help themselves, but not to make misery for others. It's always good to know to defend yourself. That's one important thing for the martial law. But you must also know the limitations of your tissues. I wouldn't go and do any more of the martial law because I've broken all the bones over the years. But before, I didn't. Now, and heal the body.
So is there anything that you could, you know, like in martial arts, you can make you think really quickly and real alert? Is there something else you can do that would mask that type of thing?
Yes.
You don't get that swimming or running.
Hmm?
Said you don't get that swimming or running.
You think fast?
Yeah.
Very simple to think fast. Go for the car and swim. You're the best martial artist. Then. Or to step out of the way of driving car.
It's just a matter of doing something dangerous then, right?
Now you understand the key of the secret of the martial art.
I know they say that
the principle is you do not have the capacity to think fast unless your life is threatened. All the rest of the time is practice. Feel your life is threatened. That's why there's always a showdown. So when two fellows meet, it's basically a showdown between speed. Not a showdown of technique. How fast you are, that's all you really do. And after a while you find it's a big ego game. So why not help people to stay healthy?
But does that entitle any saving your life type? I mean, you could save their life, but...
Well, look, the thing is over the years, some people want to be the boss of a certain area. They're coming to beat up some guy. Out for no reason because they want to show off. And somebody wants to give revenge, so he trains and trains them to do that, get revenge. So he's going to tackle them. I may have to be beaten up the hell of that time, but he survives and he beats them once, then they respect him. But then the person who's beaten up, if he ain't dead, he's going to crawl in the corner, he's going to learn some more and come back and fight that guy. So it never ends.
So in society now, they don't like that because they call that criminal behavior. So they set up martial art contests, like Olympic Games, see. And count you out if you kick right and all different things and give you belts. That's just to prove the competition is there. Basically, man is a competitive creature. See, the reason in the martial art, they couldn't understand this particular portion of the martial art, turn the cheek.
Let you slap me again. Go ahead, hit me again.
See, that one they can't understand. And they can't be like that people. Good. Parlor, they didn't know
that. That, you would have to be extremely angry to have that work, though, wouldn't you?
No.
Someone could sit there and hit you 3 times.
When I experienced that with that British man against that French Canadian fellow, he wasn't angry. The French guy was a big guy.
Yeah, but the French guy was the angry guy.
He was drunk. And he wanted to vent his anger on a little English guy. Because put it this way, he must have lost some thing through the family and they blamed the British for it. And so when he's getting drunk, I saw the guy in the elevator and he hit the guy. And by the time he hit the guy, I said, man, hey, wait a minute. You don't have a right to hit this guy, he ended it up. I was just going to kick him in his ankle and stop him. The other guy just don't. I was surprised that he didn't even blink. And the guy gets good and swing and hit him a second time. He threw the cheek. By that time, I was ready to kick the guts out of that guy for beating up this little guy. And he looked at me and he goes, And the third time he really had to hit that Englishman, he was one paralyzed human being like that. And we took off the elevator and they came out and he held the guy by his short sleeve, laid him out and left him against the wall.
The little guy?
Yeah.
Did that to the big guy? Yeah. Well, he just grabbed him somehow.
He didn't touch him.
He didn't touch him. Just pulled him. Man, by that time I wanted to know what was his technique. What did he learn? What did he know? He looked at me and said, what kind of Oriental are you? He said, I learned in the Orient. I said, not that kind of yoga. Not that kind of science. He said, what? He said, your people teach us that. Your people turn the cheek. He said, you believe in Jesus? I said, yeah, but Jesus was a martial artist. He said, well, that's the greatest martial art. He knew how to work a different science by surrender. So when he hit that guy, the guy turned twice, the third time, his own energy locked him. I was surprised. Oh, that guy made me more Christian than I could have been Christian. And he was a
only because the other guy wouldn't strike back, or is it just because he didn't have any hard feelings about it?
No, he had no hard feelings. The man was angry at him from his nationality, number one. He was a British, he called him a lion. He didn't know what reason the guy was angry about. It turned out to be that the British had some effect on his family or something. And he hit the guy 2 times, one time this way. But the third time he was there. And he was, I tell you, like somebody was going to stick him with a hypodermic or something, he was just, but that kind of science is not easy to understand, but it does exist. It's called love. Funny kind of love. See, Jesus said, turn the cheek if somebody hit you. For a martial artist studying a martial art, it don't make sense. What the hell should I turn my cheek to somebody? Hit him up, one for one. He couldn't, looking at that type of thinking, it didn't make sense. But then in those days, here's somebody who coming to teach a new science. And I saw it demonstrated with this Englishman. It really made me understand a lot of things that he had done. Entire different classes. But that Frenchman was a big guy, 6 foot, real lumberjack type. I was surprised at that Englishman. So, So it's not necessarily being able to defend yourself. And if you can perform the conviction to the idea that if you can turn it down, turn the second time, turn the third time, see what happens to the guy.
That's
if
you can withstand two hard
blows. Well, each one will cancel itself out. That's why it's called plus minus. This is the plus one, this is the minus one. That's the neutral. You don't come down. But what happened to the man that he gets stuck like that?
What did happen to the man?
I can try to describe it in religious language, or I can try to describe it in philosophy, I can try to describe it in physics.
Try physics.
Yeah, try physics.
It ain't gonna satisfy nobody.
Well, then try, and then you can try. Then you can try religious after that.
The moment you decide to turn your jaw when somebody hit you without any hostility, let that person get rid of their hostility, you gotta have enough conviction that your carbon dioxide is my oxygen, and my carbon dioxide is your oxygen. That you breathe me in, and I am only the guy who hitting my own self up through your body. But you gotta be convinced that's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's called the unified field. Einstein called it.
So is he realized man? I'm self-realized.
Well, he realized that when he was in Burma. That's where he learned the feeling of learning the unified principle.
But that's the same as love.
Yeah. But in terms of physics, that's a fact. Your carbon dioxide is my oxygen. My oxygen is your.
But what happened to the carbon on the carbon dioxide? What happened to the carbon on the carbon dioxide?
They're one and the same.
Carbon dioxide, same oxygen.
Coming in and going out. What do you breathe out?
Carbon dioxide.
When I breathe in, after you breathe it out, what are you going to call it?
Well, I assumed it had to go through a plant to have it changed back into oxygen.
I see. That's what you assume.
That's what they teach.
That's what they teach. You see?
That's true. You need oxygen to breathe.
Paul would laugh at you, you know, and he said, I live and die daily in God. Now how the hell is he doing that? And here's a man who walked around, and he was thrown off a horse and got blind. He said, he heard the voice of Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? But he got up, and then later on he said, I live and die daily in God.
This is who, John?
Paul.
Paul.
Yeah.